We're going to learn about Caleb today. But since my servant Caleb has a different spirit and has followed me completely, I will bring him into the land where he is gone, and his descendants, they will inherit it too. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation. If you prompt me with it, I'll be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, remind me, you look at all of us today, you look at me differently because I'm a teacher of your word. And I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all. I hope you get a nap this afternoon with the sound of beautiful rain. In fact, if you want to take a nap out in the rain, I don't blame you. So it's good to see you. I'm preaching on Caleb for a lot of reasons. And I can do series. I'm not really good at doing series. I can do them. I will do them. But I try to keep a feel on where our people are, what's going on around us, what's happening, and just to try to speak to that, help lead you through that. And obviously with Mama Lou's death and Charles' death not too long ago, Jim Haddock's died suddenly, then I can go on into other people's deaths. It's as a pastor of a church, you are thankful for the past, but you look at the future as best you can. And my questions are, who will replace these people? Who's going to replace them? How is that going to happen? Am I going to pick them? No. But who's the Holy Spirit going to raise up? Because God uses his people. God has a mission. He has a purpose in the kingdom of God, not just our church here, not just our local church, all the other churches around us. He's got a plan for the kingdom of God in this area. My question to all the other churches is, how do we fit together to accomplish this mission and this task? Because it's going to take all of us. It's going to take all of us. So today, I want to focus on Caleb. And I can remember when we started Hope Church in 1998, that we were pulling trailers. People were getting up at 4:30, at 5 in the morning to go set up. We hauled trailers everywhere. It looked like a depot. I mean, it looked like some kind of package moving center, like a UPS. Trailers backed up here, trailers backed up there. People building stuff to house tables and chairs and coming up with ideas. We use orange mesh. For those of you who are in children's ministry, we kept your wild and crazy kids in with orange construction mesh. You remember that? We had that stuff up. Kids can tear up an anvil, but they can't tear up that orange construction mesh. You know, that's going to hold up. Y'all remember that? Gosh, we had that stuff everywhere. That's how we kept them corralled, kept them in there. People were setting that up and all that. And I a lot of focus was on Hope Church at that time throughout the state. I told people a success of a church is not everybody looking at the Joshuas. The success of a church is having a church full of Calebs. Calebs are the hardest working people you're ever going to meet. I mean, they are unbelievable folks. We're going to talk about that for a moment as we look at our future. And I know it's fall break. I know there are a lot of people gone. I don't blame them. I don't take that personally. They need to travel. They need to be with their families. They need to get away. I get it. But I'm going to ask you now and at the end of the service, get this sermon. Get it on podcast. If you're leading any kind of a group or a family, make sure they hear it. Because if you don't attend regularly, you miss the continuity or the consistency that's there. It's Swiss cheese. It's still cheese, but it's got some holes in it. And this will help you put things together. So we're going to focus on Caleb today. And in In Numbers 14:24, we want to look at that again. Caleb's got a different spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be like everybody else. And sometimes we do things to make us stand out, our appearance or just whatever. We can do whatever. But I don't want to have the characteristics of an unbeliever. I want to resemble my Lord, character and integrity, all those things. But as described by Scripture, Caleb was different. It said Caleb had a different spirit about him. God recognized Caleb as his servant, which is the only title we need. All right, get out of everything else in the church. I'm a deacon, I'm an elder. I use the word lead pastor because for our guests, who they are. They look at who's that, you know, and it's their culture more than it is mine. And I'll use that occasionally, not for myself, but just to help explain things to other people. But that's the only title we need. It's the only title we need, as he says about Caleb, he's my servant. He has a different spirit. He has followed me completely. A great promise, and if you ever read the stories of Caleb, which you'll find in the book of Numbers, I will bring him into the land where he is gone, and his descendants will inherit it. Only going to mention this briefly, but out of that group of people, only three of those people, out of that whole group, made it to the inheritance. The people who disobeyed and balked and didn't go in didn't make it. Their generation died off. Who made it? Joshua, Caleb, and Joshua and Caleb were the ones who were able to make it. Their families were able to make it. Everybody else. Moses didn't even get to make it because he disobeyed the Lord. Now, he had his own private funeral with the Lord. Nobody, I don't know if he's really ever had that, or it was just the Lord who took care of Moses. But in that, we see Joshua and Caleb. Six times in Scripture, it says, in talking about Caleb, that he followed God fully. He fully followed God. Some of you are going, well, preacher, that's impossible for me to do that. Well, then aim at it. Aim at it. Don't aim at failure. Aim at a life that fully follows the Lord. I can be pastor counselor, and I can talk to you. I do want to encourage you. If I can offer help, I will. But there's a part of me that says, if you'd have followed the Lord, we'd have never been here. Is it fair for me to say that? If we'd have followed the Lord, I don't know that we would be here in this situation. So follow the Lord completely. Six times he says that. He was a slave with them in Egypt. He was a soldier. He became a spy. There's a great story around Caleb if you ever have the opportunity to read that. Let me show you his personality for a moment. Numbers 13:30. Caleb, he quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it." Really, he's like, let's go now. Let's go now. He was a take charge kind of guy. He was a take the hill kind of guy because he knew God promised it. If he knew God promised it, he knew God would supply it. So he was willing to trust the Lord and take it on. I'll say it here. I'll say it two or three other times. Caleb's take on the hardest task. They don't just get them. They ask for them. Give me the hard task of what's going on. Let's talk about Caleb and his name for just a moment. It means that Caleb is a name that means canine or dog. Has the root word dog in it. And it's like It's like a dog that is running with raging madness. I'm thinking pit bull, Rottweiler, you know, I'm thinking something. I've seen dogs bigger than me, you know, it just scare me to death. And then we all know a chihuahua will eat you up one little bite at a time, right? But it means he's got the tenacity of a raging dog that is coming. He's got this, I'm going to take the hill kind of guy. He's not stubborn. He's not being stubborn. Caleb is just like, why are we not doing this? That's Caleb. Why are we not doing this? I don't get it. I don't see what's happening. Charles Humston was that to me. Why are we not doing it? Why? He wasn't tenacious, only whenever Gail got after him a time or two. But the point is, he would look at me and go, I hear you, but why are we not doing this? His comments would have been the comments of Caleb. What's going on? Here's what it said about Caleb. About when he did get to enter the promised land, he was like 85 years old. So he'd been wandering in the desert for 40 years. Knowing that his people had disobeyed God and waiting. And it said that when he went into Egypt at 85, he was as strong as a man as the day he left Egypt. He was as strong as he was the day he left Egypt. I asked Bill Zoff, we called him BZ, if I could use this. Caleb, in my mind, is one of those special forces kind of guys. Give me the hard task. And I mentioned Bill Zoff's name, BZ, because that's what he was in the military. He served as a state trooper. And he said, I don't want you to say that. I said, just please bless it. And he did. And I've heard some of his stories, and we're not going to tell those stories now. But people who are in special ops or special forces are they have a different spirit, right? I wasn't even in the ministry. Julie and I were in a couples class, and a new family came into the church at Campbellsville. And the guy was special forces in Vietnam, and he was telling me stories that just were unbelievable. And he was a point man. He went behind enemy lines, and he was in a helicopter, and they would land 10 different times, and he would roll out of them once. And obviously, you know the reason they did 10 is so the enemy would guess where he was. But 1 out of 10, he rolled out. But they would land and take off 10 different times to confuse the enemy. He said, Jeff, I've been the only American soldier behind enemy lines many different times. Many different times. It's gonna don't gross out when I say this. One thing attracted him to me is I am a country boy, and he dipped snuff, but he never spit. Okay? Now, when you're a country boy and you meet somebody that dips snuff and doesn't spit, they are man. You know what I'm saying? They are a man. I said, Junior, I've been around you a bunch, man. I said, I can't help it. I was raised on the farm. I know you dip. You don't spit. He goes, Jeff, where I was in Vietnam, if you spit, you got killed. And I said, well, what do you mean? He told me the story drop. He said, I've been near streams with the enemy camping close to me. And he said, I took my knife and cut a tree and stuck it down in front of me. And he said, I backed up against a rock wall. And he said, they camped between me and that stream. And I sat there like a baseball catcher all night long with that tree stuck down in front of me. He said, I couldn't feel my legs. I mean, you're going, how'd this get to the military? People like that, they take on the hard task. That's one reason my mind goes there, because he was a soldier. He was a soldier in taking the land. I'm just, will y'all listen to me? The mission of God. I do want you to think about the local church. But the mission of God can't happen without Calebs. Everybody wants to look at the Joshua who took Moses' place. Joshua led the people. He gets recognition. He's the leader. And some of us think we've got to achieve that point. And God does place some folks on higher platforms. There is no doubt that he does that. But I want to tell you, he never did forget Caleb. He didn't forget the Calebs. Now, there's some who got more recognition from the people, but Caleb did not get less recognition from God. And as a local church, we've got to have the Calebs. In the kingdom of God, we have to have the Calebs that are looking for the hard tasks. These hard tasks don't get much recognition. There's far more in Scripture about Joshua than there is Caleb. And we don't get that platform. We're not the one who gets the plaque or the watch or whatever. But I'm going to tell you, we couldn't be where we are today without the Calebs that God raised up in our church. We couldn't be there. I see that. Do I fail at recognizing people? I probably do. It's not my heart. It's not my intention. But I want you to know, if you are a Caleb, or if you become a Caleb, he will give you the promises that he says he will give you. Whether we recognize you like we should, and you feel like you're not recognized, please know that you're going to be recognized by God. Look at Numbers 14, 7 and 10 for just a moment. I want to show you the personality of Caleb. In this story, if you look at the verses above, verse 7, there's Moses and Aaron, and they are kneeling before the people. And then there's Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb are going to be the ones who address the people here, okay? They're going to be the ones speaking. And said to the entire Israelite community, this is Joshua and Caleb, "The land we passed through and explored is an extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land, a land that is flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land, for he will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. While the whole community threatened to stone them," now hang on, The whole majority was wanting to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Caleb because they said, "Let's go. Let's go and take the land." They threatened to stone them. The glory of the Lord appeared to all of the Israelites at the tent of meeting where they came to seek the Lord's will. The point that I want to be able to make to you in this is there were all these spies that were sent out. Geographically, we're saying that all these people wandering in the desert were about 2.5 or 3 miles from the promised land. And the spies go in. They come back with their report. All the spies but two of them, Joshua and Caleb, said the cities are too fortified and the people are too big. And when I say big, it's descendants of Nephilim, large, gigantic-looking people. Their walls are too thick. Their cities are too fortified. And by gosh, have you seen the people? You know, they're just too huge. We can't take them. Joshua and Caleb, I've already showed you in Scripture, said, "Let's go." Caleb said, "God has promised us this. Let's continue to go." And the majority of the spies gave their own report, which I just gave you part of it. And so the majority of the people are like, "We're not going." And because Joshua and Caleb wanted to, they wanted to stone them. I don't mean bruise them. Stoning meant getting rid of them. Getting rid of them. Here's my point in this. Joshua and Caleb stood up against the whole majority who was rebelling against the Lord. I uh, I'm going to pick on Cecil and his family a little bit. I don't know if you've ever been around people having a church after you, but I have. I said at Mama Lou's funeral yesterday, some of you heard it, I said one reason I'm sad about Mama Lou dying is because there are people who thought I was crazy, but Mama Lou never did. And I said, there's some of you in this room who still think I'm crazy, but Mama Lou still doesn't. And I rejoice in her homegoing, but I'm saddened because she was a cheerleader. And she believed in the Lord, and she believed in what the Lord was calling me to do. But I've had a church after me. And Cecil Wells's brother, Steve, who preached yesterday, stood up on behalf of me one time in front of a church who was just finished with me. And I saw the Lord raise his brother up, and Cecil as well, and became these people for me. And has anybody ever thrown a rock at me? Not that I know of. I've been beamed a few times playing baseball, but not that I know of. But it was, if you've ever had the feeling of being gotten rid of, I have personally prayed for the Calebs in my life. And one reason you'll never pull me away from the Wells group and that family is because God has used Cecil and Steve in my life as Joshua and Caleb's, who stood for me and stood against the majority. I'll never forget that, Cecil, for as long as I live. I'll never forget that. Here's my point. People like Caleb are willing to go against the majority for what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And I want to tell you, some of you are going, man, I want to be that Caleb. Are you willing to be stoned by the majority? And I'm not talking about 1960s and 70s stoned, okay? Are you willing to be stoned by the majority for standing up for what is right for the Lord? Because you can hear all the hard tasks. He's tenacious. You can hear all those things about Caleb, and you're going, yes. But I want you to know Caleb was willing to stand before the Lord and for the Lord against the majority, even when they wanted to stone him. It's important. I know we can look at Joshua. Many of you are going, I want to be like Joshua. I want to be a leader like Joshua. I want to be out front. I want to be noticed, and I want to be recognized. That's our culture. Our culture is like, if you haven't made it to the top of the ladder, you haven't made it at all. That's the way our culture looks. I'm giving you a challenge today that in the future of our church, I need Caleb's. We need Caleb's. We need them. We need them for the mission of God, for what he has in store for us. Caleb was not a let someone else do it kind of guy. Our churches are filled with those folks. Well, I hear you, but let somebody else do it. That's not who Caleb was. When Caleb heard that something needed to be carried out, something needed to be done, he was a let's go kind of person. Jim Haddix was that way. One I miss as well, Charles Burke. Charles Burke was a Caleb. Y'all be out there in the lobby, it pouring down rain, praise God, and people coming in with babies and diaper bags, and Charles would look at all of you and go, how come you're not helping that woman in the church? Some of y'all get mad and somebody else gets your seat, or even yet your section. Charles Burke would look at you, why aren't, am I telling the truth, y'all, with Charles Burke? Charles Burke would go, we don't need committees with umbrellas to figure out you need to help a woman with a baby and diaper bags into the building. Hello, right? Right? I mean, this, and I don't mean we're going to ordain you as a Caleb, just be the Caleb. I mean, you see things that need to be done. Do you need to ask my permission to come do it? Hello? No. I mean, serve people. Just even locally, make them feel welcome. Give them the tour. We're only a three hallway church. We're not that big. Two of them will lead you to the sanctuary. Somebody, we need signage. Two of the three hallways are going to lead you here. You know what I'm saying? And if you go down the green one, we're going to put you in children's ministry. So you don't, we'll help you there. You know, we'll help you out. But it's not that complicated, you guys. It's not that complicated. Caleb was just willing to absorb the hard task. So I pray for the Calebs in our church. I pray for the Calebs, for the mission of God in this area. Calebs are incredibly important people in the plan of God. And then I know I'm using Caleb, and I know his gender was a man. And you ladies are probably going, this is a sermon for the men. It is. But I want to tell you, if it weren't for the women who had the spirits of Caleb, I don't know what we would have done. I'm being serious about that. It's not a gender-specific call of God here. It is that we have the call of Caleb and his different spirit of taking on the hard task. And when I pray for Andrew's church, that he pastors at a church that we plant and still are a mother church to them. Hopefully in November, they're going to be on their own. We're going to commission them to be totally on their own. But my prayer for Andrew and his leadership and their church is not for Joshua's. My prayer for his church is God, raise up the Calebs. Raise up the Calebs. Caleb was faithful in the small thing. And we know in Scripture, if you're faithful in the small thing, you will be faithful in the big thing. If you're unfaithful in the small thing, you'll be unfaithful in the big thing. Calebs are faithful, whether it's small or large, he is faithful. Let's revisit. Caleb, he takes the hard task. He follows God fully. You're going, preacher, I can't get there. Just aim at it. That's all I'm asking. What does it mean to follow God fully? Nothing competed with his obedience to the Lord. Some of our obedience is, if it's convenient for me. Nothing competed with the obedience that he had to the Lord. Nothing. He had an attitude to go at once. Why are we not going? Why are we not doing this? He was tenacious. Remember his name, dog. Like the raging madness of a dog. What does that mean? He's all in. He's all in. Listen to me. In our days in the future, don't be a person that attends our church and says, let somebody else do it. I'm asking you to pray with me that God give me the different spirit like Caleb. And you're going, will God cause Calebs and Joshuas? I'm praying that prayer for myself, that I not be the Joshua, that I have a different spirit like Caleb. I'm going to ask you that, can we pray that prayer together? God, give me the spirit of Caleb. There's a book out, it's a few years old, by Jim Collins called Good to Great. It's about CEOs, chief executive officers of companies. And he boils CEOs down to two different kinds. One of them, he said, they're show horses. In other words, they're out front like, you remember in Chrysler, Lee Iacocca came on, you know? Lee Iacocca would be a show horse. I'm not saying that he's not worth what they paid him, but he was an upfront kind of guy, and he gave the challenge, he presented the company, he was all that. But in the study, it said the greatest companies in our nation were not run by show horses. They were run by what he calls plow horses. He said some of the greatest companies, the most financially secure companies, and one of the ways that some people invest in companies is not only their rate of return, but on their CEO. Is he a plow horse or is he a show horse? I don't want to be a show horse. Okay? I don't want to be. My prayer to be like a Caleb is this. Lord, just show me how to be a plow horse. And I think in Christianity, two times, our desire is to be a show horse. When the work of the kingdom is going to be relied on people who are plow horses. God, will you make me a Caleb? Will you make me a Caleb? The kingdom of God has to have Calebs. So let's pray that prayer together, okay? Let's bow before the Lord. You take a moment. I'm not going to pray this prayer for you. But just, if you'll put up Numbers 14, 24 again for me. And you may want to look up out of your prayer and see that. This is how the Lord described Caleb. You may want to pray, Lord, make me a servant. Give me a different spirit. Teach me to follow you completely. Can be your prayer. Father, the task of being on mission for you and in the kingdom of God with you is not a game. This is not a game. This is not, I shop at Walmart, I go to church. It's not a game. Father, in this life you've given us, we will make decisions. Some of those decisions take us away from you. Lord, I know some of our decisions draw us closer to you. Father, in this life, there is one major decision that we make, and that's you becoming Savior of us, surrendering all of us to you. That one decision is going to affect all of our eternity. It's not a game. And Father, your mission's not a game. Your kingdom's not a game. It's absolutely necessary. So, Father, in this, as you lead us, as we go in the days ahead, you've taken home some great people of our church. You've called them home. But Father, for the rest of us, call us up. I pray for the spirit of Caleb to be distributed among our people. I pray for that. Lord, let none of us in here have the attitude of being a show horse. Lord, let us be a church of plow horses that are here to do your work. Letting nothing else compete with following you. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. The invitation is here for you to come and surrender today. Also, our invitation is given for you to come and take communion. The bread represents his body given. The drink represents his blood shed. Before you consume it, take the bread, dip it in the drink, and thank him for his sacrifice and your sweet surrender to that. I want to remind you, he kept his promise to Caleb and to Joshua. None of the other spies got to go in. You hear me? The other spies didn't get to go in. A generation of people from a certain age and above did not get to go in. He kept his promise to Caleb. He'll keep his promise to you. I promise that. The invitation is this. Whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come. Stand if you will. Counselors, find your spot. Logan's going to lead us.